So yesterday we moved into the issue of brachot, where you get another reflection of the various ways of understanding the notion of Chovat Hadar. So we picked up with the last thing we did with the Magen Avraham, and what did the Magen Avraham say? What did Magen Avraham say? Right, so his question was, right, but why is it that by tzitzis we make the bracha only when we wear it, not when we make it, right? But by mezuzah we make a bracha when we put up a mezuzah, right? What's the problem?
If they're both for the person, why do we have this difference?
Okay. The other way around, right? Okay, why don't we go back to the Magen Avraham? Right? Shein basiyasa mitzvah b'levishasa. Right? So he says, by tzitzis, we only make a bracha when you wear it. Why? Because there's no bracha on making tzitzis, a bracha on wearing. Right? If you're wearing a four-cornered garment, then you're chayv in tzitzis. V'tzarachin, ma'ishnam b'mezuzah, d'kayim lan tzitzarach l'varak kishikovah. And so the Magen Avraham says, isn't structurally, isn't this equivalent? The chiyuv of mezuzah to the chiyuv of tzitzit, namely, there is no obligation to put up a mezuzah. If one is living in a house, it must have a mezuzah. And therefore, one should make a bracha if you paralleled them.
Yes.
When you live there, right now when you put up the mezuzah, and therefore, in his question, the Magen Avraham clearly assumes that what is the nature of the chiyuv mezuzah?
It's on the person.
On the person, right? That if I am if I am in a house, it needs a mezuzah. Just like if I'm wearing a four-cornered garment, it needs tzitzis. But therefore, I don't make a bracha when I put the tzitzis on the beged, because tzitzis on a beged that isn't being worn by a person is meaningless. And by implication, a mezuzah on a house with no person living in it is meaningless. Right? Which means that according to the Magen Avraham in his question, the chiyuv inheres in the person. In the person. Now that's the assumption of his question. So he says, three lines in the bottom, let's skip down. Right, he said, by tzitzis, if it breaks, right, the tzitzis breaks, you have to take off the tzitzis. What does that show you? That it is a constant chiyuv on the person. He said it's a technicality, namely that it's true, right? His question assumed that the mitzvah was on the person, not on the bayit, right? So now, there are two things he could do to answer the answer, right? What are the two ways, methodologically, he could answer, right? Let me do this again. By tzitzis, we make a bracha when we wear tzitzis, not when we make them, because it is meaningless to have a beged with tzitzis, to have a talis sitting there with no one wearing it. Right? Magen Avraham's question is that mezuzah is equivalent. Right? That a mezuzah on a house is only meaningful if a person lives in the house. Problem. Unlike talis, you make the bracha not when you live in the house, but when you... When you put the mezuzah up. Right? So doesn't that indicate that the nature of mezuzah is different than the nature of tzitzis? There are two things he could now do. Right? Right? Methodologically. Right, so one is to say, no, the reason the brachot are different is because the nature of the mitzvot are different. Right? Which is the way we've talked in this way. Namely to say that tzitzis is an obligation on a person wearing a four-cornered garment to have tzitzis on it. It's on a gavra. It's on the person. As opposed to mezuzah, which is, if one has a house that he dwells in, a mezuzah must be affixed to it, but therefore, the Maisa mitzvah is not living in the house. It's is putting a mezuzah on the house such that the Dirat Yehudi has a mezuzah. Right, that would have been, right, methodologically, what would that have meant? The question assumed X, problem, therefore not X. Right? Right? Do you understand? This is very simple methodology, right? Right? Is X leads to problem, therefore negate X, right? That's not the direction Magen Avraham takes, right? You could have answered this question by saying, there's a reason, right? The other way is to do, keep assumption, finagle, right? So what does he do? He says, well, you're right, it's basically like tzitzis. I mean, it's basically Chiyuv Gavra. The difference is that if your tzitzis break, you have to take off your tzitzis, right? You have to take off the beged, right? Because you can't be wearing a four-karn garment without tzitzis. But if your mezuzah falls down, right? Chazal don't, right? Don't make you move out, right?
Just put up another
mezuzah, right? Meaning, and if it takes you a few hours to find the mezuzah, right? You don't have to, it's not like, oh, I have to go to the sofer. Everybody out of the house until I get back to the sofa. Like, right? It's not like there's a constant ave, right? It's, fundamentally, it's on the person, but it's a little bit more flexible. And therefore, like, there's no, like, what's his point? Fundamentally, it's a chiyuv on the person, but it's hard to put your finger on that moment in the same way as, like, when do you start violating, right? My mezuzah fell down, right? Like, I hear the mezuzah fall down from my room, right? So, like what? I have to jump up as fast as I can, right? Put it in the mezuzah, right? Like, or...
This is more of a one-time thing in general.
Just right, it's like...
The comparison in the first place is already finagling.
Correct. He's saying it's like a little bit different, but fundamentally accepted. And then he says something radical, which is, what happens if I move into a house that already has mezuzah on it?
You have to...
So the Morgan Avram says, it could be... That what? You make a bracha, ladur bivayit, asher kedishanu mitzvotav tivanu, ladur bivayit, sheyesh ba mezuzah. That if I move into a house that has mezuzah, I do make a bracha. No, without doing that. Right? He just says make the bracha. Look at what he says. Asher kedishanu mitzvotav tivanu, ladur bivayit, sheyesh ba mezuzah. That you've commanded us to live in a house that has a mezuzah. So the Magen Avraham doubles down and says, I really think this is a chiyuv. On the person. And therefore, if there was already a mezuzah there, I have to make a bracha. He said, what did he say? Normally, when I put up a mezuzah, I make a bracha on putting up a mezuzah. Let's say there's already a mezuzah. Then I make a bracha on living in a house that has a mezuzah. Look. Asher kidishan b'davet yivanu. No, look at the language. Ladur. To live. Bebayit sheyesh ba mezuzah.
You wouldn't walk by a house.
You actually make the change in bracha if you start with mezuzah.
That's what the Magen Avraham says.
So you do that in practice.
What?
You do that in practice.
Oh, so the next line. Sorry, this was. Okay, if you look at this source, you see the guys.
It's mezuzah on the house. It's based off of you being.
Ladurbo, the mitzvah to live.
You need to focus on the first part of the bracha, which is ladurbo.
Now, I'm sorry. If you look at the end of the Magen Avraham, this was cut from another. I cut this from another article. So that last line, right, is not from the Magen Avraham, from Ukvar. That's not the Magen Avraham. That was the article that we'll see in a moment. Who says Ukvar dachu dvar ba'achronim mikama v'kabat stadim ve'inkan makom harach. The achronim hate this. Yeah, push off. The achronim said, this is wrong. Right? That's not from the Magen Avraham, right? That's someone else commenting the fact that no one agrees with this Magen Avraham. Okay. But you see clearly that the Magen Avraham comes very, very, very strongly down on the side of person. Who else does? Hint, hint. Next source. Rabbi Akiva Eiger. So you look at the Chuvah of Rabbi Akiva Eiger, number 19. This Chuvah test. Va'ago d'enu madinira li ladina v'mishe yotze midiras l'vayis a'echad l'adur sham v'yisha mezuzah mikvar. Right? This is the question the Magen Avraham ended off with, which was, I move from my house into another house that already has a mezuzah. Sh'niach sham adar harishon. D'milchuyev hu levarich al mezuzah. You are obligated to make a bracha on it. D'zehu mitzvah chadasha lo. Bivayitzeh. Because it's a new mitzvah for you in this house. Clearly, what is he saying? It's a mitzvah on?
On the person.
Because I lived in the house with a mezuzah. I'm moving the house that already has a mezuzah, but I make a bracha because this mezuzah is new for me.
In this house.
In this house. No, it's a din in me. Right? I think what he's saying, I have moved into a new house. The house, my old house had a mezuzah, this house had a mezuzah. I don't have to put up a new mezuzah, but I have a new mitzvah, right?
They hold the same side, but they're going different directions.
What?
They're holding that it's still a din in the person.
A person, correct.
They're just kind of using a different...
Well, Magen Avraham says the same thing. Then he says something even shocking. This is what I find entirely, radically shocking, which is the last three words of this, before the comma, which is, V'aftihu pashut. Right? Said, this is obvious to me. Right? It's obvious. He says, it's obvious, but no one seems to do it. Right? That is a very shocking claim. That means he is so convinced that he is right, that despite the fact that he has never seen anybody do this, right? He thinks it is obviously true.
Make a bracha when this is already there.
Yes.
Is that
right? He's so convinced. Right? You understand? And he says, "Oh, and what is his teretz? Umatzilishkach. It must be. It's common that people forget things." Right? He said, "Right, thing. This is obviously right, but people don't usually do it because whatever. It's easy to forget because you know you go in. There's a mezuzah already. You forget that there's a mitzvah to make, a bracha to make." On your new house.
We still switch to mezuzahs. I don't know what those were like. No, meaning...
No, so it's expensive. They're not cheap.
In Georgia, and the floor, we don't want to sit on it. We don't know what that mezuzah is. It's a little brown box.
Now watch him say something even more shocking. You thought that was shocking. Right now he takes the Magen Avraham and he jumps 100 steps forward and he says, "Venira li digam alech mi basa la sak of bishuk shaod harbe upamim no semi rolis yamim." And someone goes to work for a long time every day. He travels from his city for many hours, or he goes for a couple of days. Right, he goes on a business trip. Dilchora hadin dikishachozer leveso yavara chala mitzvah. When he comes back home, he should make another bracha. Right.
He's going where again?
He's going on business trip and he's coming home. So but he wasn't in his house.
I could understand how that would be mashma the other way. Possibly that would make more sense the other way. Like if you go to a summer home, every time you get to the summer home, you should make a bracha. But this way, where you're leaving just for a few days
or hours,
come home and you make
Look what he says. Look at his language. The habin tayim shlohaya bediras beso. Because in the meantime, when he wasn't home, lohaya lav chovas mezuzah. He had no obligation mezuzah while he wasn't home. He now has a new obligation. He said, I'm not sure about this. But do you understand theoretically what he's entertaining? How?
He's literally,
right?
No,
do you understand?
What he's doing, he would be making it almost exactly like Tzitzis.
Correct? Do you understand? According to Rabbi Kivager, it would be a totally legitimate and logical thing to do that every day before you go to work to take down all your mezuzahs, right? Take them with
you. He doesn't seem to suggest take them all.
Oh, no, he doesn't say you have to. He's just saying that you could, because while you're not home, you're not chayev. So if you wanted to, right? If you were neurotic, you thought people were going to steal your mezuzahs, right? So big deal. So if you want to...
No one who's neurotic.
Right? Meaning I'm saying, look, you shouldn't do this because this will feed into neurosis. Don't do this, right? Absolutely don't do this, right? Right? It'll feed into... Right? Right? But he's saying on a halachic level, right? A mental health level, this is a terrible idea, right? But it's not even a joke, right? That you can imagine, right? Things like this happening, right?
Yep.
You know, there is, in all seriousness, there is a very serious expression of OCD, right? Which in technical literature is called scrupulosity. Right, which is exactly what it sounds like. Right, it's OCD expressions of being scrupulous in halacha or law in general, like religious law in general. It is very, very hard to deal with because halacha is by its nature so detail oriented. Right, so someone already has a predilection towards OCD, like. Yes, towards like that type of activity, halacha can really manifest itself badly. But Rabbi, you understand what Rabbi Kivager is saying? He's saying theoretically, if you wanted to do that,
but just without taking them off, he's also suggesting, were you not take them off, you'd just make walking it into your house every time you walk into your house, even after a few hours, you should make them bracha.
Theoretically. But he's like, Tzarek and Ladina. Right?
It'd be so much more beautiful to walk into your house at the end of the day.
Greg, but you understand, the Rabbi Gveiger is just following the Magen Avraham to his logical extreme, which is saying, no, this is Mamish Achiyuv in the person. Right? Obviously, if you said it was in the house, this would be crazy. Right? You'd say, no, it's an obligation that a Jewish inhabited house should have a mezuzah. Therefore, I go to work, I leave my mezuzah on, I come home. I'm not becoming a new mitzvah. The mitzvah is to have my Jewish inhabited house.
You go to work, it's reasonably considered a Jewish house.
What
do you mean?
What are you talking about? Do you not care? Right, if you knew that Shimon attached a camera to you, right, a spy camera, so that every time you could have him, he would never interfere with your living there.
Ever.
Right? Ever. Ever.
As soon as
he leaves the house, he gives you 5 minutes clearing time, and as soon as he knows you're within 5 minutes of coming home, right, he comes back. You would say, that's fine. Because it's not my house. I'm at work. It's not my house.
Yeah, but I'm saying
would you say that? That while you are not home,
kind of seems like in your house.
No, it's not. It's just like you don't want Shimon creepily spying on you, right? And moving into your house.
Just say, I see you leave your house, I go into your house, and I bring my own pots and pans, and I go, I make breakfast, you come back, your house smells exactly the same, it looks like no one was even there. You'd be totally cool with me doing that every day?
No.
Why? It's not your house, you don't inhabit that place. But it is your house, you do inhabit it. Right, so you...
Like, honestly, do you... You know why it's your house? When you go home at the end of this year, right... Are you going
to
go in and say, oh, right, whatever. You're going
to
go in and you're going to see your bed and you're going to see a room and you're like, oh, it's good to be back in my room, right?
What a beautiful place. What is this?
Right, what was the assumption? The assumption was even while you were gone, at some level it maintained the chalois Nahum's room, right? You don't come in and say, wow, you got a new room, right? With identical stuff to what used to be my room, right? Like, not a new chalois. Right? You understand that your house is yours. There's a reason you leave stuff in your room and you make it yours, right? There's a reason that when someone walks into your room, they can look in and say, oh, this is Nachum's room, right? They don't say, I visited a room that when you come in is yours.
I don't understand why it's specifically on first.
That's exactly the point. If it was on the house, that's my point. If it was on the house, right? Lidugma, right? If I walk into your room right now, right? And I see your bed, despite the fact that you're not there, I call that Nachum's bed.
Right.
Right? Halachically, I go in there and I say, oh, that's Nachum's mezuzah on the Nachum inhabited room, even though you're not there.
Right.
Right? And therefore, just like you don't remove your bed every time you walk out of your room, you don't remove your mezuzah every time you walk out.
But then why do you have to repeat? Why does you have to make it on?
That's exactly my point, is that the fact that Rav Eger entertains the possibility that you have to make a new bracha means that he doesn't view a mezuzah that way. He doesn't view it as part of the house.
He views it
like your tzitzis. That every time I put on tzitzis, I make a bracha. And every time I walk into a house with a mezuzah, I make a bracha. Right. Because it's on me. And I wasn't in the house the last 3 hours, the last 3 days, the last 3 months. But the house was here.
Right, but it still kind of sounds like it's on the house.
No, not at all. Not at all. If it was on the house, you wouldn't make a new bracha when you enter in the house, just like you don't put in a new bed and take your bed out. Because the mezuzahs were on the house. They were on the house.
So why is he saying if you go to the shuk, you have to repeat the bracha?
Because he clearly sees things of the mitzvah of mezuzah.
Person, then you wouldn't have to.
Because you weren't in a house before, and now, and therefore, when you're mitachar hashamayim, when you're talking kibbutz hashamayim, you're not obligated. When you come back into the house, you're obligated again because now you're in a house with doors, right? Okay. Right, so that is, right, if you didn't believe me that there were shittos who really took this very seriously, right, now you'd better believe me that there are shittos who take this very seriously. But again, the fact that we don't indicates, right, you could say it's a technicality in brachot, or you could say no. This tells us that we really think is that it's on the house and not on the person. Yes, Johnny.
No, so what do we... No, before Nachum said something, you were finishing up on something. What were you saying?
That's what I said. I don't know if there was something else I'm saying, but if I did, I have forgotten it.
Okay.
I don't think I was saying anything else than I did say. Okay. Another nafkamin, another place where you see this expression is... is what? Is the right hand left hand, right? Normally, right? So the halacha is v'tzarech lekoval yamina nichnas vein chiluk beinu iter yado lo im kavav ismol psula. Right? The Shulchan Aruch paskins, and we know this is true. Right, the halacha, that you put it on the right-hand side as you enter the room. Now, this creates certain nightmarish cases of what happens if you don't know, right? Right? If you, right, you have two rooms, and, right, it's opening into one and opening into the other, right? So it's right-hand in both directions. So normally the halacha is you go by the primary, right? It's like, I'll think about it. You have two rooms,
yeah.
Right?
Like this one,
right? Right? Sometimes I go into the kitchen, and sometimes I go out of the kitchen into the dining room. So which side is the right-hand side of entering?
Both of them.
Oh, yeah, so which one do I put the mezuzah on? On both? On neither?
No, you put it on the right, so when
you put it on the primary.
Yeah, when you get in.
In where? Which room? But are you? But you understand that's a door that lets you enter in to the kitchen and in and no and in to the dining room.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
It's in both directions.
Yeah. I the
right?
Yeah.
Right? So this is when things start to get complicated, when you have to try to figure out which way is considered in when the door acts as into one room and into another room.
Yeah.
Right? That's I said that's when halacha gets complicated.
Okay.
Right?
You're not going
that door is the primary.
When you come into the yeshiva, do you go through the kitchen to get into here?
No, you come
into
the yeshiva.
And then for breakfast you go into the
don't go into the kitchen because you first go to davening and only then you eat because it's also to eat before
eating. That's my point.
That's why.
The kitchen is
I go through the kitchen into the sub, it's usually empty in the morning.
They're going in.
Okay, but what's the primary room? It's not about the
entrance. Anyways,
right, there we go.
So we
but
entrance.
It's based on like the primary way of going through the kitchen is going into the kitchen.
Anyways, no, you see how it's right. You see the assumption of that one. It's on the right hand side coming into the dining room because the assumption is that this is the main room, which it is obviously. This is obviously the main room of this.
Well, you know, for some people during some days it isn't, but you know.
Yeah, that's fine. Okay, good. Anyways, I don't get into this, but you understand this is some of the complexity that comes up in a lot of complicated shaylas. Correct. Now, there are certain very, very complicated cases. Right, one of the most complicated cases is decks. Right, decks are very complicated.
Oh, porch decks.
Porch decks. Why? Right, they're very complicated because, right, on the one hand, right, clearly the primary part is the house, but on the other hand, you can't go in, you can't come into the, go onto the porch without going through the house. Right, meaning, right, if there's no exit from the porch, right, it's always one directional, right, into the house.
Right,
so it's a machlokes haposkim, which side you put it on. My father asked me this shayla a few weeks ago, because the rabbi of the shul, this is sort of funny, right? The assistant, he has the assistant.
Smart enough for your dad.
No, he is. The assistant rabbi of the shul, right, knows it's a machlokes, and therefore he felt like he didn't want to make the decision for my father, because since it could go either way, he wanted me to make the decision.
Your son's a masmid kolim.
Right. So I, you know, whatever. I just sort of funny. I'm like, I was like, you really couldn't go wrong here. You really couldn't go wrong. So I told him, we're looking for Boskin, because why not? Anyways, but here's the shaila. So normally, the right can mean two things in halacha. What can it mean?
The stronger hand, or
correct? Sometimes it means literally the right, like right, left. Oh, look. L, not L, right?
I never used that trick.
You know the way you teach little kids, right?
I always just knew which one was my left and which was my right.
Yes, well, I also know what my right hand is.
The Shema hand.
The Shema hand, yeah. Yad Yamin Al Hainayim. Yeah. Right, they have a whole song for it, right? Yad Yamin Al Hainayim, something, something, Lekabel.
For elementary school kids in Israel.
And you know what?
They all remember everything.
Yes! There you go. Today, Mayor is so happy. Today he starts Ta'amim for all of you who are so good at laning, right?
I can.
Well, if you started at 5, you might be more comfortable with it, right?
It takes a long time to learn.
If you started at 5 and it's like part of your language,
yes, apparently not.
When you hear a word in a chumash, your brain will automatically make the tune of it.
Right. Now, of course, you could always look. You could do. There is a family in Alon Shvut. There's a family in Alon Shvut that what they did was that on the back of cereal boxes, they just taped Prakim of Tanakh. So that.
That's brilliant.
Because they're like, instead of reading the Narishkeit in the back about, like, you know, buzz the honey nut Cheerio bee, right? Right? Once you can read in lane, right? Now it paid off because for one of their kids' bar mitzvahs, he went to the Kotel and leaned, I think, like all of Tehillim in the Temani trap, because Ashkenazim don't even have a trap for it, but the Temanim have Tam Emet, and leaned the whole thing, which
quite distracting.
You know, good for them, good for them. Shimon is like, this is so what I'm doing, but then I'm going to make all my cereal boxes Shemos, and like, need to make sure not to do that. Okay. So here's the Shaila. So that So the Ramah says that when we say right here, we mean right, not stronger. Right. Sometimes in halacha we mean stronger, like by tefillin. Right. By tefillin, we say you put it on your weaker hand, right, which means your left hand, not your left necessarily your left, but if you are a lefty, you put it on your right, because by right here, well.
Talking as well, no?
Well, that's only in chakras, it's, yes, but. Then it's a bit of a machokes. Moshe Feinstein apparently thought you actually still put it on the tefillin, with the tefillin one, and you put both hands or something. Anyways, whatever. So the postgame asks, okay, so what do you do if you are a lefty? So the Ramah says, no, so the Ramah says, you still put it on the right side, the real right, right? Not your weaker side, on the right side. But why? Why do you put it on that? So, the Shach says, v'lo dami l'tfilin d'eat der maniach b'yamin shel kol adam. He said, this is not like tfilin, where it goes by your subjective right and left, such that a lefty puts it on everyone else's right hand, which for him is his weaker hand, therefore his halachic left, right? Commotion is Barbara Chaim Simon Chavzan Zivav. The shiny mezuzah, David Lishmor Kol Bnei Abayit. So now, stop right there. You could have said what? You could have said, why don't you put it on the right hand side of the person? So there's two answers to that question.
Because it's not like mitzvah.
You could have just said, because it's not like tefillin.
That's tefillin.
It's on the bayit. And therefore, it doesn't matter who lives there, it's on the bayit. Right? That's not what the Shach says in his first answer. He says, it is
on the person.
On the person. But
it still goes on the right.
But it still goes on the right. Why? Because there's more than one person who lives in the house. And one of them is a, right, statistically speaking, right, if 10% of people are lefties, so there's 5 people in the house, so maybe you'll have one lefty, but the rest of them will probably be righties. Doesn't really work that way, but fine. Right?
If only statistics worked out that beautifully.
Correct. Says, Masha Engen Bitfilin. See, have you read, I've mentioned this book before, The Phantom Tollbooth?
Yeah, I've heard about this.
Right, the Phantom Tollbooth is like a very classic book, which
that's one where part, it like looks down, so there's no color.
Right. So basically, the humor of the whole book is that it takes idioms and literally metaphors literally.
Right, yeah.
Right. Like one of the main characters is a dog named Tok, right? Who flies because time flies, right? Like things like that, right? Things like that, and the whole book they're searching for. Right, there's chaos. So they're searching for two princesses named Rhyme and Reason, for the term of Rhyme and Reason. Right, so at one point in the book, right, they meet a child who is like half of a child, 0.54 of a child. But he says, since every average family has 2.54 children, right, I'm the 0.54, right? Whatever it was. Now it's point. Now in America it's 2.1, but you know, then it was 2.54. Or something. Right, America is the only Western country that has replacement. Do you understand how terrifying that is?
Meaning, what do you mean by
that? Procreates in such a way that they replace their current population. It is the only Western country left. Replacement is pachod yoter 2.1. Right, give or take. Right,
what does that mean, replacement? Like you,
in order to procreate such that you replace the people who die. Right, it's approximately 2.1.
Uh-huh.
Right, why 2.1?
Double.
No, because there's two parents, so you need two kids.
Right.
But some kids are going to die, some people aren't going to have children. So on average, it's 2 point something will bring you to exact replacement.
So
right, America is the only country, Western country. Israel doesn't count for these purposes, but it's not true.
The population kind of stays the same.
No, it shrinks. For replacement is that it stays the same. Correct. Replacement means that you procreate enough that you will stay the same. Right? All the European countries are like in a disaster zone of like 1.3 and 1.6.
And you mean they're just shrinking?
Shrinking rapidly in terms of procreation. Right? America is the only one.
That means that there'll be like less anti-Semites, right?
No, because they're taken over by immigration.
Yeah, but
I mean, the internal.
Maybe Haredi communities, it's the opposite. They're
the average in the country, right? In Israel, obviously, it's not. The average is much more. Between the Dati communities and even the secular community that has on average more kids in Israel, right? Plus the Arab communities who have a lot of kids, right? Basically every major demographic in this country, right?
We're expanding more than we could kill. Die off.
I'm sorry.
We're expanding faster than we can
die off.
Yes.
I hope that's what you meant, and that it wasn't the racist thing that it sounded like.
No, I don't think it was racist. I think he was just saying against any. I think what he's trying to say was like a Hunger Games-esque kind of world where, not too many people. Let's just.
We are having more children than people are dying. Correct. Okay? That's all you meant. I hope that's all you meant. Okay, fine.
Purge.
Good. So, ending that there. So he says, Masha Engin Bitfilin, the Havi Lidi De Lichudei. Right? So he says, first answer assumes that what? The chiyuv is on the?
Person.
Good. Right? He just notes, obviously, by person we mean people. Because more than one person lives in the house. That's all. Right? Now, who takes this as the real reason?
The Taz,
number 22. V'af imhu iter mikomokam acharov b'nei abayit azlinan. So they take the chiyuv of? But what would be the implication of this first answer in the Shach and the Taz? That what happens if everybody's a lefty?
Should
put on the other side. Right?
Somebody normal put
on the right? No, but you put it on the left. The other side. If everyone was a lefty, right?
Yeah, we put it on the left.
The Shach says, wait a second. In the second answer, he says, maybe not. Maybe this isn't right.
Now wait, just.
Venire duhu adinim echad levado dor bavayit vehu iter. Oh, shekol b'nei b'raya tirim. He said, wait. Are you telling me that if there's one guy who lives in a house by himself, a bachelor who lives in his house by himself and he's a lefty, or everybody's lefties, that you put it on the left-hand side? Really? Right? That's the implication of what you just said. I don't think that's right. Dilo dummy litvillin. He says, don't give me a technical answer that assumes that it's a chiyuv gavra. What's the answer? It's nishta chiyuv gavra.
Right.
It's a chiyuv. Chovas abayis. Says the lo dami letvilin shehi mitzvah she begufo. It's not like tefillin. Why does tefillin depend on whether you're a lefty or righty? Because it in here is in the person. So it matters. Right, left, right, left, right, left. Right? He said this is the house. No house is righty or lefty. Right? The house doesn't say, oh, my right... The right hand side of my right hinge, right? That's my good hinge, right?
It's your only hinge. Do you only have on one side?
Yes, exactly. He said, "Masha engin mezuzah dein el chovas habayis lekach elin lekach azlin basa yamin shakav dam." Therefore, we go by the right. Nikuda, the right, as in the right. You know that thing, which is right. You know.
Yeah, that's why.
Yes, like this isn't complicated. He's like, it's a house. In a house, you don't say which is your stronger side. We say, right? Like, can you imagine? Can you imagine? Like, honestly, can you imagine trying to give instructions to your contractor? Right. I want you to put
cement. This side wood.
Right. I want you to install the bathroom on your stronger side. It's the right as you walk in on the stronger side of the house. What are you talking about? On the right or the left? Not right or left. What are you going to start saying?
Sir, I'm being quite clear here. Put it on the stronger side. I don't see...
Well, how would you like... Not the strong... You're right, not stronger. The primary. Or if you're ambidextrous. I want you to put it on...
this...
You know, yes. They are...
Be on a side...
Of the which is... On the equivalently functional side.
He's been the director's half... Heavy. Iron,
I
half
feel like we're having a political thing here.
No, we're not having a political. No, I mean literally, physically. This isn't like metaphoric.
But that means he's.
I know, it's just so funny.
That's what he said. I'm sorry. He literally says that, right? I'm not like. You understand? Sometimes I have to be medayik it from like. I have to like. Pull it out of their shita. He literally says, "Masha enkim zuzah de'ena ela chovat habayit." because it is on the house.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, he tells you that. It's not like, I didn't have to make that up. He literally says, no, I reject these applications that assume it is on the person. It ain't on the person. It's on the bayit.
Yeah.
Right? And he says, v'chein nirad das harav shelo oilam maniach v'yam v'chein hagin. So this is the pashtos of Shulchan Aruch and the Rama. Because the Rama doesn't tell you, put it on the right side, unless you are a bachelor who's a lefty, or you're a family where the statistic, where the majority of your family is a lefty. And what would happen, right? You understand the absurdity. The simple understanding of the Taz is that today I'm Nagin, I'm a lefty, which I'm not, but let's say I was a lefty, right? So today I'd put it on the right side, right? Then I get married, and now it's 50-50. So I'm stuck in Suffolk. Then I have a kid. The kid is a lefty. Now we have two lefties. So now we put it all on the right hand. We put it all on the left hand side. Then I have another kid is a righty, and then another kid is a righty. Oh, 3-2, right? Everybody move the mezuzah. Then you have another two kids, and it switches, right? Do you understand how right? It's chaos. It's chaos. Okay. Now, if you look at the Divrei Yatziv, is the Kloisenburgo Rebbe. Yes, related to all the other Chassidus Rebbes, because he's a Halberstam, which means he's related to every other Rebbe also. He writes, the Sham B'Shach Kosav, the Lodam Yilatilin, the Iter Maneach V'Yamin Shal Kol Adam, the Shayanim Mezuzah Debe Lishmor Kol B'nei Abayis, because of Oud Sham, Do Adinim Echad Levadu Dar B'Bayis, V'Iter Shal Kol B'nei Abatim Iterim D'Chem 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 Right, he quotes both answers of the Shach. Yes? Velo Heivanti De Mashe Kosav Debe Lishmor Kol B'nei Abayit.
I don't understand.
Right, and then he says something which I really don't understand. He says, "Mazeh, that a mezuzah is there to protect everybody in the house." Dalochiv alav v'hua nikra adar. So now we get, if you remember our chart, right? The pashtos, I think, is that even if you accept that it's a chov on the person, which person is it? No, you're with the Klausenberger, right? I would have said it's on the people who live there, right? Not just the one, not the Valabayit, and everybody.
In terms of what again?
When I say, I'll put it differently. Are you chayav and mezuzah in your house at home?
Yes.
Yes! Oh, you're not the owner.
I know, I'm a renter.
You're not a renter.
No, my family rents the house, literally.
I don't care. You pay rent to your parents?
Not yet.
Okay, right? Right? Are you chayav and mezuzah?
Yes.
Why?
It's still a place where I'm living.
Correct! That's pashtus, right? And that's why, even if you think it's person, right, the Taz says it goes by majority or something like that, right? The Kleisenberger says, nah, if it's person, it's not only people, we mean literally, hadar, not hey with a, right, hey hayidia, not hadarim, not the people who live there, the liver, right? The man of the house, right?
Say the owner?
The balabos,
okay.
Right? The person who's, right, whose name is on the...
Deep.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, the only problem would be if that person wasn't Jewish.
Or the person was a righty, and you think you have to... or lefty. That's what he's talking about. Yeah. Right? He says, the haim rock together achsanoim shalom. And then I really don't understand this. I mamish don't understand this. Like, I don't know what philosophy this is. It's not how I live my life, but okay. He says, and everybody else in the house is just his guest. I don't know what that means. Like, someone's wife? Right, he's saying there's one person, one main person, everyone else are guests in the house. Like, I hope that's not how you how your parents treat you. Like, this is our, I mean, maybe they sometimes do. This is our house, our rules,
yeah.
Right? But,
yeah.
But no husband does, no smart husband does that to his wife or vice versa.
If not, you know, yeah.
My house, my rules! Right?
15 years of alimony.
What?
A divorce, alimony.
Yeah, exactly, right? That's not how you, right? So, but this is literally how he describes it. He says, "Umaze inyan lebnei abayis letzarech l'sham." And he says, "Who cares? The mezuzah is to protect everyone in the house." Kshachiv mutal alav. Ukshozem azina kedina have a memela shmir l'chol be'amanayis.
Well, it's like,
so I really don't understand this analysis at all. I would have said that even if you think it's a chol on the person, we don't mean person singular. We mean people who live there. But the Kleisenberger did not apparently agree with me. Okay.
In terms of like space between a renter and an owner, who follows what side to put the mezuzah on?
What?
Who follows what side? Maybe just clarifying whose side you follow to put the mezuzah on.
Yeah, but why would that be true?
Well, the owner of the house is a righty, so you put it. You have
okay.
The right.
Now after this, I've given you a lot of just sort of modern sources. We've finished, I think, the primary for now, like primary sources. So here, go for a second to 25. This I just thought was a very good summary of the issue from Rav Machiel Ferrer. I don't know who he is, but just if you've lost us, right? This should be a summary. Hanir lefiyan is I call Razan al shechovet adar perushosh kiyum mezuzah chal al mi. Hanir lefiyan yudati. In my humble opinion, should we call a rayon anal? Shechovet adar perushosh shechiyum mezuzah chal al mi sheyesh lo bayit sheyesh bo diurim. He said the simplest understanding of this sugya, as we've shown over and over, is that when we say dar, we don't mean the person, we mean the house. He said, what are the nafkaminas? That kishabona bayit chadash and bayit zem yuad zak lezira yidem zem yuad b'sium b'niyato v'ashetam nichnas lagur b'befol v'adayin l'chiz b'o chavatzav shonon. So therefore I think the simplest understanding is that once you put a mezuzah on your house, when you finish building it, right? Which is quite a chiddush, you didn't have to say that. You could have said it doesn't become a Jewish inhabited house until you move in, but he says maybe even before you move in your stuff, that's when you should do it, which is actually what I did, sort of. Two, im ein biyad adam l'kvo mezuzah kagon b'shabes ashein lo mezuzah l'idein mitzad adin, right? He quotes other ones, einu tzarech latzein mi beito kevin shlo yo bazek klom. There's a discussion which I didn't give you, which is what happens if you're on Shabbos and the mezuzah falls down, you have to leave your house, right? So he says, postures is no. Why? Because if it was a chiyuv on the person, so you might say, look, if I move out of the house, I won't violate an isser, right? Why? Because it's on me, so if the mezuzah falls down, I'll go to my neighbor. And this way I won't violate living in a house without a mezuzah. But this Rav Achiel Fair sides with the people and say you don't have to leave your house. And he says, why don't you have to leave your house? No, but what does he say? It's a chov, but what does he say? It was on the person, so I understand. Every moment that I'm in the house, I'm violating. Right? I'm living in a house without a mezuzah. But he said, if it's on the house, then what? Then the house needs a mezuzah, but on Shabbos, there's nothing I can do about it. So therefore, the house is lacking. But what's he saying? If you think it's on the house, does it matter whether I'm in the house or I'm at my neighbor's?
Yeah, it does matter.
No! Because I still have a Jewish house without a mezuzah. Meaning, the house will be lacking whether I'm in it or out. And therefore, I'm allowed to stay.
I have a mezuzah.
And it's Shabbos, so nothing I can do. And therefore,
so it's on the person.
It is on the person.
You're obligated to put a mezuzah. On Shabbos, there's nothing you could do. So...
No, think about the equivalent.
Oh, you could go to your neighbor.
Yes, exactly. If I have my tzitzis, right, and the tzitzis, right, my bag of tzitzis, and the tzitzis break off,
yeah,
right, and I'm in a Rishus HaRabim, what's the halacha? No, and I'm in a Rishus HaRabim, so now I can't wear it because I take it off, right? I take it off the tzitzis, right? And in general, if you have a four-cornered garment and the tzitzis break off, what do? You take it off.
Right?
So if you think the mezuzah is a chiyuv gavra, the equivalent would be until I can put the mezuzah back up, leave the house. Correct?
Okay. Yeah.
But he says, but if you think it's a chovet habayit, then right now, there's a problem. There's no mezuzah. Is that going to change if I go next door?
No.
I have a house which has a chiyuv mezuzah, and it's lacking. Now, it's not my fault, it's Shabbos. But is it going to help to go next door?
Yeah.
No! Yeah. No! Right. Not if it's on the bayit, because I still have a Jewish house,
right,
which needs a mezuzah, and I'm not there, it doesn't help.
Right?
Because
it's still a Jewish house.
Because it's still a Jewish house. Yeah. Right? And therefore, there's no value in me leaving. Right? He said a third nafkamina, he thinks, is if I'm taking my mezuzah to check, should I put up a temporary mezuzah? Right? So he says, if it's a chiyuv in the gavra, what does he say? Maybe?
Yes.
Not.
What?
Maybe it's not an obligation. I'm not in my house right now. Right? I take my mezuzah, I leave the house to go get it checked, and I come back, I put it back on.
Oh, I thought...
Right?
I thought,
but he says, but if he says if it's on the bayit,
then, yeah,
then maybe you should try to find a temporary mezuzah.
You go there and drop it off and come back.
Right?
What do you mean?
Right? He's saying if you're checking, you're taking off your mezuzah to check, mm-hmm, right? So that's legitimate. You're allowed to do that. But should I try to find a temporary mezuzah scroll to put up in the meantime?
Yeah.
So he says, look, if it's a chiyuv gavra, you'd say, no, I'll go to the mezuzah checker, check the mezuzah, and bring it home.
Yeah,
and in the meantime, big deal. So there's no mezuzah. I'm not in the house. Right?
That's what you meant by before, that even though that he has no mezuzah, but he has a Jewish...
he has a Jewish house. But no. If it's on the person, so there's no problem. But if it's on the Jewish house, you're saying, well, I get that it's legitimate for you to go to check your mezuzah, but you really should try to put up a mezuzah in the meantime, because otherwise your house is lacking.
Okay.
Right? Okay.
It seems like this, like if it would come... If it would
and then the fourth, and then the fifth thing he says is, obviously, this is why he's against Rabbi Kiveger, which is when you're traveling for work, you do not, or even, you know, you leave the house, you don't have to make a new bracha when you come home, right? That is, that's obvious. Okay.
It kind of seems that if you drop off your mezuzah at the shofar, then you would come back to your house, you would still have to put up another.
Potentially. Though you might say, nah, because I'm still involved in the mitzvah, right? It's like, you know,
right,
you could come up with something.
Right.
Okay. Now, I gave you in this number, to go back to 24, this is from an article from Yeshivat Ma'alot, where they also discuss this, but they note, they quote a Reb Chaim al Hashas. You see where they do it in the middle of the article?
Yeah.
Okay? He says, Reb Chaim also seems to weigh in on this, and he says, Hadim Mivarach Mishikoveh Mezuzah Beis Chaveiro, Aftu Eino Mikayim Shum Mitzvah. So now he has the following question. He says, what happens if you put up a mezuzah in somebody else's house? This is Reb Chaim's question. Right? So what's the halacha? Who makes the bracha?
Are you asking? Or what?
So he says, when you go, you put up a mezuzah for somebody else, right? Shimon helps me put up a mezuzah in my house.
Well, it depends.
Right? He says, mekayim shum mitzvah, even though it's not Shimon's mitzvah, the kiyum mitzvah tali b'misha alav chiyuv ha-mitzvah, because obviously it's my house. Hainu time came to a maisa yesh ba kiyum mitzvah, maisa mitzvah hi. Baruch hain al maasa mitzvah sha'asa. So he says, if it's on the person, then should Shimon be allowed to make a bracha? No, absolutely not.
Wait, time out. Whose house is this?
Mine.
Oh, no, then you make the bracha.
Correct.
Right.
But if...
Like, it would be like if you were parents, correct. And I put your tzitzis onto you.
Correct.
You would make the bracha.
But he says, but what happens if it's a chovas abayas? Correct. So he says, v'lo damil l'tol tzitzis b'vigdo shel ploni. Right, Shimon's case. He said, this is not like me tying tzitzis onto Shimon's beged while it's on him. Right? Avshu lavish be'isa asiyas abe'a beged. Right? Right? D'lo yitzar levarach. Because obviously then Shimon, right, I wouldn't make the bracha. Shimon would make the bracha. I'm tying tzitzis literally on his clothing. Okay, right? Which is a little bit creepy, but that's not the point. Right? Someone else do that. Someone else tie tzitzis on him. Nachum, you can tie it on. Right?
So what's right? He talking about?
What?
So what's he talking about? So he has to do the...
No, he says, who makes the bracha? Right, he says, is it the person who owns the house or the person who puts it up?
Yeah.
So he said, if it's on the person, then it should be what? Then the person who lives in the house.
Yeah.
But if it's on the buy it, so whoever Lemaisa puts it on the buy it, even if it's not their house, still.
Person,
he says,
you're not the one.
If I'm putting it on his house and it's a din in the house, then I make the bracha.
But if it's in the person, I would do it because it's my mitzvah to have the mezuzah put up.
But he's the one doing the mitzvah.
No, I'm the one.
He is.
Because it's not putting the mezuzah up. It's living in the house with the mezuzah. That's me.
Oh.
Right? So he said, oh, mezuzah, habayit mechoyev bekviyat mezuzah. Said, by mezuzah, it's on the house. And therefore, whoever puts it up, ukviyat mekayim a mitzvah, shall kviyat mezuzah v'areihu maisa mitzvah mevarchan aleham. And then he proves this again from the right hand left hand of the shach. Okay, so just look at his last paragraph here. He says, "Lachein nireh begeder mitzvahs mezuzah shabayit b'shah shenigmar arayu nichlas legeder mitzvahs mezuzah shado yotel apal yedei hadar." He says, okay, let me put the evidence together and say, what does it mean? The mitzvah is as follows. The house, once it's finished, is chayev in potential. But it only comes into expression when the person lives there. V'kach ish lavin lashon abraisim mesechin mezuzah that bayish chadash came in shigmaru chayim mezuzah. Right, and this is where he argues on Michel Ferrer, and he says even if you think it's on the bayit, that doesn't mean you have to put it up as soon as you build it before you move in. Right, it's not on the Jewish owned house; it's Jewish inhabited. That once you finish a house, it now is obligated in potential. But the mitzvah will only come into actualization when someone moves in. This comes to explain the monetary obligation of Misha Befal Tzarchuk Mezuzah. Who has to put it? Which only comes at the end of the house. So there is actually only one source left on this sheet, and that is Rav Lichtenstein's whole article. Look, I don't know if we'll read through all of it tomorrow. I want to read through basics, but I think it's time to start. You can try. We'll decide tomorrow whether we go through this whole thing inside and wrap it up, or we run through it and start the next sugya, which is, there's a few other sugyas on this daf. We'll decide tomorrow which one we do, okay?